bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you are here, knowing that you've come down with a shout. And Father, we realize there isn't much left to happen. In fact, your prophet said that everything that was supposed to happen was in. And yet we see some things as far as the political scene, but yet we don't know if those things could take place after we're gone. But we see, Father, that the world is in a condition that is falling apart, as your prophet preached. And we realize, Father, that there's some sort of judgment, whether it's your judgment or not, Father, that's upon Europe right now with the heat wave, which is all-time record heat, and they don't have the air conditioning, they don't have the fans and things that we have over here. So it's very, very miserable. And yet, out of the misery, instead of the people repenting, they're becoming very immoral and taking off their clothes and all these things that we hear. So, Father, we just ask that you would soon wrap things up so that we could go home. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm just going to take a short message on oneness. And actually, Brother Branham had mentioned from the message oneness, paragraph 62. He said, "Now when Adam and Eve listened to the lie of the devil, the holy image of God left them." That's point number one. Number two is their fellowship was broken with God. Their fellowship of oneness with God was broken. Point number three is the very minute that they listened to the lie of the devil, that broke their fellowship. And the very minute that you listen to the lie of the devil, it breaks your fellowship. Number four, that's the very minute that you go out from the presence of God like she did, is when you failed to take God at His word. And number five, just as it is. Now, in examining this progressive moving away from His presence and the complete denial and rejection that takes place when a person or people leave the vindicated Word of God in favor of another Word, or as the Apostle Paul said, another gospel that comes in from a source that is not vindicated. This leaving His Word or drifting away from it, it takes us away from the influence of His divine nature and thus brings us under influence from another nature, which is of another source and is not divine. Our oneness with God is thus broken. Now, I would like to read from paragraph 74 of Oneness, where Brother Ram said, "Listen, any time a church breaks its fellowship to throw itself into an organization, the fellowship of the believers is broke. We've got to believe with one heart, one mind, and one accord." And that's the way they was before the union was ever made on the day of Pentecost. One heart, one mind, and one accord. And when you throw a church into an organization, you're going to get all kinds of fractions in it, because some of them children in there is going to believe in God and they're going to hold to the thing that's right, and the others will go the other way. So you have no fellowship. Yes. Now notice how Brother Branham says we must believe with one heart, one mind, and one accord. Now, this is the key to having oneness. One heart, one mind, and one accord. The message that I preached before I left to go down to South America was a message called With One Mind and One Mouth, Expressing the Father. And we all viewed it when I got back, the translated message down there. And to me, that is where the bride has got to come to. When Brother Branham said, the bride will know who she is, and the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. I believe that there's four areas that God is bringing us to, and those are the four areas of His Son. There may be a fifth there somewhere, because God deals in threes and fives. But number one, we've got to get ourselves out of the way. I guess that would be number one. Number two, we cannot have our own doctrine. It must be His doctrine. Number three, we cannot say our own thoughts. It's His thoughts. Number four, we cannot do our own actions. It's His actions. And number five, we must have His will. So I guess there is five when we consider it that way. Now, this is the key to having oneness. One heart, and remember, heart always represents understanding. One mind and one accord. But the question is, number one, whose heart and whose mind will bring us into this one accord? Now, certainly it's not my heart, my mind. Certainly it's not your heart and your mind. But there's got to be one heart and one mind, and that's his heart, his understanding. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith in the Son of God, but the faith that he had in the Father. That's the faith that I have now in the Father. And so the question is, whose heart and whose mind will bring us into one accord? Now I believe that you already know this answer, but as the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So today, by God's grace, I would like to examine this thought here that Brother Brown was speaking of. Number one, he said, one accord which comes by having one heart and one mind. Now we have three things that he spoke of here, and these three are not different in nature, although they are three. These three are one. One heart, one mind, and one accord. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and reading verse 4 and verse 5, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now he said that's the way that they were before the union was ever made on the day of Pentecost. They were of one mind, one heart, one mind, and one accord. So let's go back to the book of Acts and examine the setting that he's speaking of. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Now, this word accord here is a Greek word homos umadon, which is actually two words, homos, which it means the same, and sumos, which means the mind, to have the same mind. So they were of the same mind in one place together when the Holy Ghost came down. Now, just because they were in the same mindset is not what brought in the presence of God. It had to be a specific mindset. And in chapter 2 of Acts, we see more specifically what this mindset consisted of. And so in reading from chapter 2, and reading from verse 42 to 46, we read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice number one is doctrine. And fellowship. And in breaking of bread. And in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So if they had a singleness of heart, they had a one focus. Because of heart means to understand, or it means their focus. So their singleness of heart meant that they were of, you know, a single focus. Now there you are. They were one in doctrine. Their fellowship was together, not back and forth with the word, or with the world and with the elect. But their focus was together. The breaking of the bread, which I believe this breaking of bread was both spiritual and physical. But we see, as Brother Vail brought out in his ministry, about the breaking of the bread scripturally. In other words, the people getting together and talking the word. And it's part of our worship of God and our fellowship of the saints, because if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship. So what brings you into fellowship is walking in the light. Malachi chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And that is why we are likened to calves of the stall. We just eat and rest. We eat and we rest. It shows that our inner man is like the Bible says, the inner man is being renewed daily. Brother Branham says, you know, he talked to the doctor one time because he said, how is it that when you're young, every time you eat, you're actually producing more cells, and the body takes that nutrients and it produces more cells. And he said, yes, that's because it's life. And Brother Branham asked the question, well then, how come when you turn a certain age, it doesn't do that anymore? You actually begin dying. And that's because we have an appointment. But notice here, that is why we are likened unto calves of the stall. Because they just eat and they rest, they eat and they rest. And it shows in our inner man as we just eat. Because the inner man comes to rest. The more you talk the word, the more rest you have in your soul. If you remember when you first become a Christian, you had many, many questions. But now as you become more mature in your, you still have the questions, but you're not so anxious over the questions. The questions don't throw you into a tizzy. They don't throw you out into left field. You're at rest, you see. And you know that in due course, God will reveal those things if you have need of them. It does show in our inner man, as we just eat of His Word and rest in it, and it also shows outwardly in our flesh man as we partake of the fellowship table with such wonderful meals as, you know, the sisters make, and we have the fellowship together. And so it shows, you know, in the physical realm, it should show also in the spiritual realm when we get together and talk the Word. We should be like the fatted calves, you know. Then finally, the fourth element is prayer. They were in prayer. They had one purpose, and so their prayer was for this purpose. And that was for the presence of God to come to them. Now remember, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was number one. And in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Now remember, in the apostles' doctrine, it has to be the number one, because faith is what starts it, and faith is revelation. All right? So then the next thing is fellowship, and that's a talking. That's two fellows in a ship. You're sharing that faith. And the next thing is you start the breaking of the bread, the spiritual, the physical bread. And then there's prayer. And then it said it created an atmosphere in the church, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Now remember, just before Jesus went away, He promised them that He would send forth a comforter to them, because they were sure in need of comfort, because let's face it, they were all hiding. So with one mind and one accord, they assembled to one place, and they besought God to fulfill His promise. And you know what? He did just what He promised. Well, if the elect would just come together in one mind and one accord with one purpose, and that is to receive the glory of God, His very mind in us, which He promised that He would do, if we would just have this one purpose in our hearts, then I believe that the change of the bride would take place. Brother Brown said, if God could just get 10 people together with one mind, he said the rapture would take place. Now notice how an atmosphere of expectation was created and how this atmosphere or influence became all-encompassing. It was conducive to the dynamics of God, which came into operation within the church. Godly fear, reverence, and expectation were the result of the doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Now what caused the atmosphere? What brought it about? I believe it was the influence of the Word of God anointed in the minds of the people. God's very presence in this alpha setting as a pillar of fire in the midst of the people. This great influence of God brought out an atmosphere, or brought about an atmosphere, which produced a Christ-centered life. A people who could not help but to be in expectation for God to do something. In 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 20, we read, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. We are under the anointing of the presence of God Himself, and that is what brings upon us this great atmosphere or this great expectation. Now, Brother Branham said he could have the gift, but if the people weren't expecting, they wouldn't get anything from the gift. So it's our faith, it's our expectation that brings about the result. It's tapping into God, so to speak. But why would John say what he did here? He says, but you have an anointing and you know all things. Notice what he says just before this in verse 15 to 19. Let me just turn to it real quick. 1 John 2. And verse 15 to 19. Love not the world, neither the things of that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not of us. Now, what is the difference between those who stay together and those who leave? The ones who stay together, as John put it, have a special anointing to know this word, while the others did not. And therefore, as we've seen in Matthew 13 and various other scriptures that talk about the seed that was sown, where some fell upon poor soil and some withered away, and we see that only one group actually had a knowledge or an ability to receive the word and to hold it into their hearts, and then it was allowed to, and then it also was able to give it back, or to echo it, or to reflect it. The others are then ordained to leave, and the scripture says that they do so in order to manifest who they are, and that they are not of us. Like seed will gravitate together; they will not separate themselves away from others of like seed. Remember the nature of God that we've studied. We see in Genesis how that when God's word went forth, it brought forth separation. But that same separation was actually a gathering of like seed with like seed. And so the separation was those seeds which were not of like seed, separating from the other types of seed. In other words, God said, let there be light, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God said, let there be waters, let the waters above be separate from the waters below. Then in verse 11, third time he speaks, says that God said, let every seed bring forth after its kind. And we know that in the production of life, that you have a cell has got to divide before that cell can be another whole cell. So you've got a cell, a chromosome, and when that chromosome divides, you now have two forming. So the division is actually what? It's a separation, right? But it's actually a multiplication. So before we can add word upon word upon word, there's got to be, when the word comes initially, and you've got the non-word, now you've got a separation word from non-word. And so separation is a good thing in this sense. Now, just to be of one accord doesn't do the job. In fact, although being in one accord may create an atmosphere, that doesn't mean necessarily that God is the author of that atmosphere. Just because a certain pervert was voted in as president the last time around, doesn't necessarily mean that the people were all in complete agreement as to him being in there. Some use their votes as a means of protesting the system, but ended up cutting off their nose despite their face. But we see another example of this in the book of Acts, where certain people got very excited about what Paul had been preaching, and through emotionalism, they were able to get others worked up into a state of frenzy, that these people all rushed together in one accord, and yet many of the people who did this did not even know why they were doing it. They just got caught up into the atmosphere. Like Brother Bram said, you go to a ball game and people get excited, you get excited. Have you ever been in a room where people are just laughing? You can't help it. You just start laughing. You don't know why you're laughing. You just there's an atmosphere. Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 28, it says that when they had heard these things, they were full of wrath. And they cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the greater part knew they knew not wherefore that they were come together. And so just because you might enter into one accord with a group of people doesn't mean it's one accord with God. And that's what's very critical in our understanding here, because you know that if you, Brother Bram says, if you're a Baptist, you know, you're looking through a Baptist filter. When you read the Bible, you're reading a Baptist Bible. And it's like when we preached on several months ago on the Trinitarian, and we actually took the studies from the websites, different places, and showed that they would use scriptures that were just so completely nonsense, like the scripture that says that the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she was overshadowed by the power of the Most High. And so they said, see, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit, and the Most High is the Father. So basically, one held her down while the other planted his seed in her. And so you're looking at a situation that just completely, it's a mindset that's so carnal that they don't understand that there's one God and He is the Holy Spirit. And so they would take scriptures that would talk about Him and it, and they say, well, Him is God and it was the Holy Spirit, and He is the Son. And they just, you know, if they've got three different pronouns in there, they're going to use them and say, well, see, that's three different, you know, like when they said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they said, well, the God of Abraham was the Father, and the God of Isaac was, you know, represented the Son because he was the promised Son, and the God of Jacob would then, that would be the Holy Spirit. Well, I've got news for you. Jacob means the planter, so that would have to be the unholy spirit, you see? But they don't understand that there is one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the gods. You see? But because their mind is so in a tunnel vision, they can't see anything that's not what they believe. But they have a one accord. And you go to those churches and the people are all in just one accord. And they're in one accord. And actually, like a cord of wood. They're all lined up together. And so they're in one cord. And the cord of wood is for burning. Right? But there's an eight. There is one accord which God wants us to. And that's the mind of God. All right, and this one accord, which we're talking about this morning, is not one which is brought about by any reason, or even one which is the result of just any reason, but we're speaking of the oneness in these people, which is brought about as a result of a very specific purpose, which God purposed in Himself before the foundations of the world were established. Brother Branham said that we've got to believe with one heart, one mind, and one accord, and that's the way they was before the union was ever made on the day of Pentecost. They were in one heart, one mind, and one accord. So we must ask ourselves this question. Believe what? The people believed that they needed change. And that is true. And I say they need a change, and they need a transformation by the renewing of the mind, but that is not the change that they are looking for. Now, isn't it interesting that during this this administration, well, this is an order sermon, so I'll just... But isn't it interesting that, you know, in politics, you know, they're always talking about change. You know, we're going to come, we're going to change this, and we're going to change that. And yet when they get in, it's just the same old, same old. Because that's man trying to do it. You know, not by might, not by flesh, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. So we see that Brother Branham said that we've got to believe with one heart, one mind, and one accord. That's the way that they was before the union was ever made on the day of Pentecost. There was one heart, one mind, and one accord. So the question comes down to, the first thing was the doctrine. To believe what? And that was the doctrine. And that is to believe God, to take Him at His word. Jesus said, I didn't come with my own doctrine. He said, I came with what the Father gave me. He said, the things that I say unto you, said the Father commanded me, and that's what I teach. So that brings us to Philippians chapter 2. And in reading verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One heart, one mind, and one spirit. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask that you would bless these thoughts, Father. We have several other scriptures, Lord, but it's not necessary because the point has been made that it's not our coming into one accord on our own, but it's receiving the mind of Christ, the glory, the doxa. And so, Father, we just pray that the opinion we have would be your opinion. What judgments we would make would be your judgments. And what estimation, what valuing, what worship we have would be according to that which you have called for. Help us, Father, to be sons, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.